Today is Palm Sunday, and the readings are from Psalm 118, verses 19 through 29, and the Gospel of John, chapter 12, verses 12 through 28a. The message is titled, "The Hour Has Come." Our first reading, our lesson, is from Psalm 118, beginning of verse 19. "Open for me the gates of righteousness. I will enter and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord through which the righteous may enter. I will give you thanks, for you answered me. You have become my salvation. The stone the builders rejected has become the capstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. O Lord, save us. O Lord, grant us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. From the house of the Lord we bless you. The Lord is God, and he has made his light shine upon us. With boughs in hand, join in the festal procession up to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will give you thanks. You are my God, and I will exalt you. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever." Here ends our lesson. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 12th chapter, beginning at the 12th verse. The next day, the great crowd that had come for the feast heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. They took palm branches and went out to meet him, shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Blessed is the King of Israel!" Jesus found a young donkey and sat upon it, as it was written, "Do not be afraid, O daughter of Zion, see, your king is coming, seated on a donkey's colt." At first, his disciples did not understand all this. Only after Jesus was glorified did they realize that these things had been written about him, and that they had done these things to him. Now the crowd that was with him, when he called Lazarus from the tomb and raised him from the dead, continued to spread the word. Many people, because they had heard that he had given this miraculous sign, went out to meet him. So the Pharisees said to one another, "See, this is getting us nowhere. Look how the whole world has gone after him." Now there were some Greeks among those who went up to worship at the feast. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, with a request. "Sir," they said, "we would like to see Jesus." Philip went to tell Andrew. Andrew and Philip in turn told Jesus. Jesus replied, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. I tell you the truth, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. The man who loves his life will lose it, while the man who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me. And where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honor the one who serves me. Now, my heart is troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? No. It was for this very reason I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name." The Gospel of our Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Lord, God of inconceivable power, incomprehensible glory, immeasurable mercy, unspeakable kindness, look on us in your tender love and show your rich mercy and compassion to us and those who pray with us. Amen. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Can you imagine yourself in the midst of that commotion years ago? Commotion that in a manner began the day before in Bethany, when a large crowd of Jews found out that Jesus was there in Bethany, in the house of Mary and Martha, along with that famous Lazarus. Yes, the large crowd of Jews came to see Lazarus too. You know Lazarus. Lazarus, the man who was dead for 4 days and buried in the tomb. The man Jesus wept over. Remember when Jesus said to roll the stone away, Martha said, "But Lord, by this time there's a bad odor, for he has been dead for 4 days. Jesus responded to that saying, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" You can read about this event in the Gospel of John, chapter 11. Especially that moment when Jesus called out in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" At the command of Jesus, the life entered back into Lazarus, and simultaneously the body was restored. What was rotted away was restored. What had decayed was now made whole. The heart began pumping again. The brain began to send those signals through the nervous system. And the lungs filled with air as the muscles and sinews moved the body that once was dead and decaying is now standing up and shuffling out, constrained by the grave clothes. Now it's weeks later. Lazarus draws a crowd as the aroma of a very expensive pure nard wafts through the windows into the streets. The next day, as the sun begins to rise and the day begins to break, the crowds begin to fill and swell the streets of Jerusalem. Large processions start heading up to Jerusalem as pilgrim after pilgrim joins in the masses, moving along towards the great city of the Lord, where the temple of the living God gleams from the sun's morning rays reflecting. Somehow, some way, someone spontaneously pulled a palm branch and started to sing and shout, "Hosanna!" Other people joined in the praising, "Hosanna!" And the palm branches joined palm branches in praise, "Hosanna! Save us! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Blessed is the King of Israel!" And the procession grows. A donkey. And soon Jesus situates himself on the back of the donkey. Do the crowds doing the praising and singing? They're waving palms. Do they understand that before their very eyes, prophecy is being fulfilled? For it is written in Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation, gentle, and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." Jesus is intentionally entering Jerusalem in a manner declaring he is the king. We know from John that he and the other disciples did not understand what was unfolding before their very own eyes. For John wrote in the sacred scripture, Gospel of John, chapter 12, verse 16, "At first his disciples did not understand all this. Only after Jesus was glorified did they realize that these things had been written about him and that they had done these things to him. As the procession grew, the word went out that Jesus is coming. Jesus, the one who called Lazarus out of the tomb, had raised Lazarus from the dead. He's coming into Jerusalem. He's riding on a donkey through the streets of Jerusalem. The Pharisees and all the other religious leaders were getting exasperated, seeing the crowds grow, hearing the praises, watching the palm branches wave, and those words, Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is he, the King of Israel. We've seen movies. We've seen news clips of past ticker tape parades. We've seen parades with confetti flying. But nothing compares to what is happening in Jerusalem. The King of Zion was entering. The Righteous One was entering the gate. And all of history was coming to a pivoting point. Some Greeks were in the festive crowd. They came to Philip requesting to see Jesus. Philip found Andrew and told him of the request. Philip and Andrew go to Jesus and told Jesus. Jesus replied, it is written in John chapter 12, verse 23. Jesus replied, the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Jesus has been in Jerusalem before during the Passover feast. As a boy growing up, Joseph and Mary would regularly bring him to Jerusalem for the Passover feasts year after year after year. As a wandering rabbi with his disciples following him, Jesus was in Jerusalem for at least 2 Passovers, possibly 3 Passovers before this Passover. This Passover will be different. The kernel of wheat will fall to the ground and die. Jesus' heart is troubled. Of course his heart is troubled. The suffering coming his way, it's known to him. The death he is going to die is known to him. Jesus has spoken to his disciples numerous times about his death. To Nicodemus, Jesus spoke of being lifted up, just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness years ago. Lifted up means to be crucified. John chapter 12, verse 27, Jesus is speaking, now, my heart is troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? No. It was for this very reason I came to this hour. Hour. Not 60 minutes. Not a set time of the day. Hour here means the moment that the Lord's purposes will be fulfilled. The hour has come. So Jesus asked the Father to save him from what is to come, to save him from the suffering that is assuredly coming, to save him from the cross that looms large ahead. John chapter 12, verse 27 teaches us something we ought not miss. Jesus said, no, no, it is for this very reason I came to this hour. Jesus is not going to avoid the suffering. Jesus is heading headlong right into the suffering. That is the reason he came. This hour is the reason for the incarnation. This hour is the moment of making the new covenant. Difficult to put into words what this hour actually means. For this hour is the greatest gift that the Lord God gives, his own Son, to shed his blood to save us. The Righteous One, cruelly crucified for us, crucified in our place. We, the unrighteous ones, we, the sinners, the helpless, the hopeless, lost sinners, deserving the wages of sin, deserving death. Not the Son of God, it is us. It is we who deserve death. Yet this hour, this hour that has come will bring life for us who are dead in sin. Everything's coming together. All things are being put into place. The omniscience of God, the omnipotence of God, the will of God bringing everything to this moment, to this hour. The sovereignty of the Lord God on full display as prophecies written hundreds to thousands of years earlier are coming to pass, coming to being fulfilled. How many in the streets singing Hosanna really know that salvation was riding on the back of the donkey? Salvation that would redeem the soul was coming. The greed of Judas Iscariot was rising. As testified by John, when Judas complained about the expensive pure nard Mary had poured on Jesus' feet, as it is written in the scriptures, John chapter 12, verses 4 through 6. But one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, who was later to betray him, objected. Why wasn't this perfume sold and the money given to the poor? It was worth a year's wages. He did not say this because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. As keeper of the money, he used to help himself to what was put in it. Though John does not record it, the other three Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, record the events. The Apostle Paul records it too in his writings. As the Passover approaches, an upper room is procured and prepared for the celebration of the Passover feast, a festive feast that had been given by the Lord God to Moses nearly 1,500 years earlier. As it's written, you can find it in Exodus chapter 12. The instructions are to select a year-old lamb without blemish, without defect on the 10th day. Keep the lamb until the 14th day and slaughter at twilight. Take some of the blood and put it on the lintel and doorpost of the house. Roast the lamb over a fire and eat bitter herbs and bread made without yeast. It is the Lord's Passover. Exodus chapter 12, beginning at verse 12 through 14. On that same night, I will pass through Egypt and strike down every firstborn, both men and animals, and I will bring judgment on all the gods of Egypt. I am the Lord. The blood will be a sign for you on the houses where you are, and when I see the blood, I will pass over. No destructive plague will touch you when I strike Egypt. This is a day you are to commemorate for the generations to come, and you shall celebrate it as a festival to the Lord, a lasting ordinance. The hour has come. It is written in Luke chapter 22, beginning at verse 14. When the hour came, Jesus and his apostles reclined at the table, and he said to them, I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. What makes this Passover such that Jesus eagerly desired to eat this Passover with his disciples? We know that at least two previous Passovers, and most likely a third previous Passover, Jesus celebrated with his disciples in Jerusalem. Why the different mood this night? Why the eagerly desired? The answer is, before I suffer. The answer is, the hour has come. The answer is, the new covenant. The new covenant found in prophecy the Lord gave to Jeremiah and is recorded in Jeremiah chapter 31. It's chapter 31, verse 31, Jeremiah. The time is coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. The new covenant will be written on the heart. The Lord will be their God, and they will be the people of God. That is written in Jeremiah chapter 31. The hour has come for the new covenant. Luke chapter 22, verses 19 and 20. And he, that is Jesus, took bread, gave thanks and broke it, and gave it to them saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after the supper, he took cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you." Years later, Paul would write in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 26, "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.'" The hour has come. Across the Kidron Valley to Gethsemane, where Judas betrayed with a kiss, the hour has come when the Sanhedrin would condemn Jesus to death and hand him over to Pontius Pilate. The hour has come for his suffering. The hour has come for his death. The hour has come for our forgiveness. The hour has come for our redemption. The atonement price will be paid. The hour has come for expiation and propitiation. The guilt and penalty is taken away by the blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ. And at the same time, restoration and reconciliation with the Lord God takes place through the blood of the Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ. The new covenant sealed with Christ's blood. The hour has come for the King of the Jews to be crucified. There on the cross, Christ cries, "Father, forgive them." There on the cross, Christ cries, "It is finished." All of this is wrapped up and found in the phrase Jesus speaks in John chapter 12, verse 23. Jesus replied, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified." John chapter 12, verse 27, Jesus said, "Now my heart is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? No. It was for this very reason I came to this hour." This hour is the Savior becoming the source of eternal salvation to all who believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. John chapter 12, verse 28 records Jesus then crying out loud, "Father, glorify your name." A cry coming from his depths of his being. "Father, glorify your name." This is what the hour is all about. Glorifying the Lord God. Glorifying the eternal Father. As Acts chapter 4 records Peter testifying before the Sanhedrin about the Lord Jesus Christ. Peter declares in Acts chapter 4, verse 12, "Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved." This salvation we have been given, this redeeming grace so freely given, this faith that has been born in us, all to the glory of God. For the hour has come. Amen and amen.